Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we celebrate the second Sunday of Lent, and at this time, are there any parish notices to come forth?
If I may, Brother Dick, just a thank you for the great Bob Hall, who came, not only dug us out at Monmouth Road, but you take a look at your parking lots, 11-11, all of them. I mean, he's just phenomenal. Can we raise a thanksgiving to the Lord? Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Brother Dave.
Mm-hmm. Any other parish notices?
And I did forget one more. More and more senior moments. My apologies to Jean and certainly to Judy Farmer out here. At the board meeting, we did raise the invitation as an answer to the call for evangelistic outreach. We do it by means of a music evangelism each year. That will be the 15th. And why I'm apologizing to Jean, especially to Judy, our table fellowship resource coordinator, is that, my goodness, that's only 2 weeks away, Dave. So I am remiss. I am sorry. And it's the Sojourners. I told Keith that it was the Songsters. I got the nomenclature wrong again. Wrong. Just call me wrong way Corrigan. Remember him? But at any rate, it's the Songsters. And they have that incredible bass singer. I'm not wrong on that. The one that we have all been amazed at. So plan on everybody coming. That's going to be a combined service with a carry-in potluck luncheon to follow. I think that's it, Dave. Thank you.
Anyone else? Pastor Lair, you sure?
I think that's it. That's called a conditioned response.
There you go. Let us prepare our hearts for morning worship. Let us pray. In the quiet of this moment, in the stillness of this place, draw near to us, O God. As we seek the shelter of your refuge, as we celebrate the bounty of your provision, hearken to our need, Holy One. Transform this time and place into our land of milk and honey, a land where you are among us, a land where your mighty hand and your outstretched arm protect us, a land where you alone are worthy of our worship and service. We ask this in the saving name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. From generation to generation, God calls to us.
Christ names us as God's own people.
In hope and faith, God walks before us.
Christ calls us to pick up our cross and follow.
In covenant and love, God promises us grace.
Christ carries us forward into life anew.
Lift up your voices, hymn number 64, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let us join together in the passing of the peace.
That's when he does his. he does his before he does his.
And now at this time, we invite the children to come forward for the children's moments. Good morning, children. Now, there is a portion of the scripture this morning, and Jesus is teaching that he says that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, that he must be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and killed, and 3 days later, rise again. Now, he's talking, of course, about the upcoming crucifixion. Jesus knows that he's going to Calvary. And he's going to say yes to this cross. People, oh my goodness, when I was in seminary, there are actual fields of study trying to unpack all this mystery of God's great love as to why did Jesus say yes to the cross of Calvary. And they're still writing volumes and volumes and volumes on this topic. And frankly, it does, in one sense, remain, I'm just going to tell you, a mystery. That is to say, in this world, if somebody slaps you, you slap them back. And as a matter of fact, the ancient Greeks, hate your enemy, love your friends, because that just simply made sense. So for someone to come and to give his life for people who hurt him, who beat him, who rejected him, who slandered him, to still love is just really, really amazing. Amazing. But the bottom line is God is love. And that's what Jesus came to fulfill. His whole ministry is God is love. He is God in the flesh. And to save us from our sins, Jesus said yes to that old rugged cross. And he gave his life there. The communion elements today remember this great sacrifice of our Lord. But he did it because he loves you and me. He did it to save us from our sins. Let's go to the Lord and give him thanks for this remarkable love. Heavenly Father, Paul said in his writings that the world calls this kind of love foolishness. And yet, Lord, it's by the love of your cross that we are saved. By the love of Jesus that we are given the hope of everlasting life. And his love enters our hearts right now. And we feel our life growing richer. We want other boys and girls to know those riches. We want them to know Jesus. So send us forth as your disciples. We'll take up the cross, Lord. We're going to follow you because it's worth it. So help us, lead, guide, and direct us all to the glory of Christ and his love, we pray. Amen. Now I'm going to have Brother Dave come forward. We're going to give you some treats here. And this is one of, there again, evangelist. This is one of your tools of evangelism because you get the one sucker. When you give that other one away, you tell them about Jesus and his love. Oops, I'm sorry. There you go. Yeah, those are good ones. How you guys doing? You doing okay? Did you see the snow this morning? Do you play in the snow? Oh, yeah, you do, don't you? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do, too. I do, too. I love it. Do what, son? You wanna carry the microphone? We got a microphone volunteer right here. It's Carson, right? Preston, don't feel bad. I got three boys, and I've called them all by their wrong name, but one day I called Jordan Charlie. You know who Charlie is, Preston? Charlie's our dog. Yeah. Well, Preston's going to help out. You may return to your pews. Good man. All right, Preston. I'm going to go ahead and give you the microphone. And we might, you know what, Preston? Even though it's snowy, we always prepare for visitors. We're prepared for you. We want to welcome you. There are visitors' cards. If you want to take a moment, fill out that visitor's card. And when the ushers come by here in a little bit for the morning offering, just place the visitor's card in the offering plate. And the ushers collect them. They get them to me. And we get the call back out to you to get you better acquainted. Now, why does Preston have a microphone, you may ask? Well, we're going to have what's called the joys and concerns here in our church family. A joy could be, for instance, a birthday announcement. It could be a wedding anniversary announcement. It could be a testimony, a joyous testimony of how the Lord is giving you strength, guidance in your journey. You want to lift up that testimony, that good news. Just raise your hand. Could be a concern, maybe somebody you love is sick and you want to lift them up. Raise your hand as well for that. So joys or concerns, keep your hands up though so Preston can see you and bring you the microphone.
I have two joys. Derek turned 14 yesterday. And also, I wanted to congratulate the boys for their 8th grade tournament, winning the tournament then. Very good.
Raise the cheer for Derek and the boys. Thank you so much, Marie. 14, did you say? Derek's 14? My goodness, boy, time flies.
I have two requests. If you could have prayer for my uncle, Dick Johnson. He just had bypass surgery this week. He seemed to be doing better yesterday, but some extra prayers could help. And Aaron Reese, my friend's son that's 15, he, an update, he is planning on having a surgery this week for a defibrillator and pacemaker put in. So at this time, no heart transplant, but hoping that will work. So thank you for continued prayers for Aaron.
Bless you, Shelley. Yes, indeed, thank you for lifting up those concerns. So prayer warriors, we have those concerns to lift up this week in our prayers. Any other joys or concerns? Joys or concerns?
Thank you. It was my mom's birthday this week.
Fantastic. Well, happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. More joys or concerns? And I did see a hand up here, Preston. And there might be others. I'll look around. Any others?
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little update on Sis.
Talked
to her yesterday, and she's sounds a little bit weak, but I talked again to Lonnie last night. He's home, and he said that she was in a little bit of pain yesterday, but she's her spirits are up there and everything, and we had a good talk and everything. And Gina, she's still hasn't made it to Cleveland yet. They can't get her blood regulated to where it's supposed to be for the 3 weeks, so please keep her in your prayers. And I had a testimony to make that's it really touched me. It was the other day we had a young gentleman, 29 years old, that needed a ride to a medical place. Well, I called him and was talking to him and everything, and here he had lost his sight about 3 years ago to diabetes and retina separation. And I prayed about it because we don't have the convenience of taking blind people, and the Lord told me to take him. So I ended up taking him to Defiance for his appointment and everything. and we had a good talk, and I mean, we talked all the way up there and all the way back, and he is really blessed, and he is trying to get into the Christian life, and I told him, I said, well, I'll put you on our prayer list as an unspoken request, and but it was just a blessing how the Lord, you know, let me go ahead and take him. And we took him, got him there back and safe. It was that morning we had that blowing snow and that light snow. But the Lord cleared our path up there and got us up there and back safe. And it was really a blessing for both of us. So just put this unspoken request on the prayer list for him. And hopefully that... the Lord can do something for him, but he's doing good. I mean, he's lifting weights and everything, and he's doing real good.
Dave, that is a beautiful testimony, and I mean, it is a, you know, one of my Old Testament professors years ago at Bethesda would say the reward for serving the Lord is to serve the Lord. There's the joy. There's the joy, brother. Thank you for serving the Lord. That is just beautiful. We'll remember that unspoken prayer request. And as we're moving to our next concern, though, remember our professor here, Keith Bowers. When you talked about the retina situation, remember Keith in your prayers, too, with his retina, with his eyes. Yes, Judy?
Bob Wittenberger is not doing very good. She had him to the doctor Monday, and today he's in severe pain. So let's put him on our list.
Thank you, Judy. And Judy, you alerted us, too, to Gene Whitting. And yes, Gene's going to be going in on the 10th for that heart procedure, the pacemaker. Isn't it, Judy, a pacemaker, I think? But thank you, Judy. So we'll add also Bob, our good old buddy Bob Wittenberger. He's the one who always used that term, prayer warriors. That's where I got that from, was from Wittenberger. Thank you, Judy. Any other? Yes, we have Glenn up here. Yes, sir.
My son and his wife had a chance to just sneak in here this weekend just for a short time. They wanted to visit Mom. She's slipping and stuff. And so they came in Thursday night, and they had we had a good time with Mom Friday. She had a real good day Friday and stuff. And so, but by Friday evening, they went up to eat with her. I didn't. I had some other things I had to take care of. And Kathy came home and said she was in terrible pain and stuff. But they had got her to eat quite a bit. And but she's losing weight now quite pretty fast. And she just won't eat. And we can't get her to eat and things. So it's keep us in your prayers and stuff. And especially John and Marv and all the kids that are coming from distances like that. I worry about them in this weather and stuff, but they got home okay, so thanks.
Brother Glenn, we surely will. I know we've been talking. We've seen the change, haven't we, Glenn? And thank you for sharing with us, and we certainly will remember your family.
Marilyn's oldest brother, Louis Ryan, which many of you know, 99 years old, lived by himself down here. He fell last Sunday at home and ended up, of course, in the ER room at Van Wert Hospital. Didn't break anything. Louis, he's a unique individual. But anyways, many of you know he never missed a Sunday out at Countryside Chapel and Church. He taught Sunday school there for right up until lately. He is now back at the Convoy Care Center. So thought you'd try to bring you up to date on Louis.
Thank you, Warren. Boy, he's a rugged guy, isn't he? He's a tough guy, but hey, even tough guys have falls. So thank you, Brother Warren. We remember Louis.
I had lifted up my friend Mandy Owens, and she is now cancer-free, and they are starting the adoption process, so prayers would be great for them.
Let's raise a cheer and praise the Lord. That's wonderful news, Allison. Wonderful. Any other good news or concerns? Joys or concerns? Just, well, can we show an appreciation for Preston? Preston, thank you, son. Wonderful job. Thank you, son. Let's turn to the Lord now in silent prayer. Holy Lord, as we enter this Lenten season, we are reminded of our weakness and our need for your strength. On this Communion Sunday, we ask your forgiveness when we tread paths that are contrary to your will. We ask your forgiveness when we fail to look beyond our own desires to see another's need. We ask for your presence in our wilderness wanderings. May your hand guide us from the arid land of sin into a land flowing with milk and honey. A land made rich and abundant by your saving love. And now deepen our faith, Heavenly Father, as we pray that prayer that our Savior has invited us to pray with him. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand together as we join in the hymn 398, Jesus Calls Us. Shared at the very outset of the service, this is the second Sunday in Lent. And special thanks again to our great artisan, Roger Baxa. Roger, I don't know how many years ago it is that you fashioned that cross. But it is a real symbol in our worship services that we're grateful to you for, brother, during the season of Lent. Now then, the lessons from Mark continue, and this one very fitting for the Lenten season. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples, and he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." May God add the blessing of his Holy Spirit to the reading of God's holy word. Thank you, Linda, and thank you, choir. So beautiful, that that beautiful, beautiful anthem. So fitting, too, for not just for communion, but also for the season of Lent. Again, this lesson from Mark, that Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering, be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all this quite openly. And then Peter took him off to the side and began to rebuke him. But Jesus, looking to the disciples, rebuked Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you're setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." And then calling the crowd together with his disciples, Jesus taught them further, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who wish to save their life will lose it. But those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and yet forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of those the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." Keith, you've done some beautiful cantatas. And you know, we're going to have this, Margaret, we're going to have this big anniversary service coming up. It's something that I really won't be speaking that day, by the way. I'm simply your MC, your host for the occasion. I don't know whether the DS will speak, but I trust that our other colleagues will speak. And something that Bishop Palmer said after he took over as bishop from Bishop O, from Bruce O, I'll never forget, we were dedicating that plane. Remember the plane that we all got behind? Dave got the first big bike-a-thon going. Remember that, Charlie? The big bike-a-thon for the funds for that plane. And it was Bishop O who said, you know, who started all that. So Bishop Palmer now comes. And Bishop Palmer said these words I've never forgotten, Margaret. He said, "We stand on the shoulders of others." And that's how I've felt for 21 years. You've had great cantatas. And I know for a fact that some of the Easter cantatas, because Emmett Garris shared this with, he even loaned me a tape, that I believe you had the crucifixion scene. And now Keith helped me out, because I wasn't here then. As I said, we stand on the shoulders of others, Margaret. That's before I came here. Did Emmett actually get on the cross? Did you stage it so that he was the Christ figure at one point on the cross? Linda, was he on the cross?
Emmett was 1 year with John Hall.
John Hall. John Hall was.
And Don Johnson was one of the soldiers.
Well, these are very moving, and sometimes referred to as the Passion Play. You know, I know the big one in Germany for many, many years. But these move people. I mean, it really brings it right to our doorsteps, you know, the suffering, the great suffering on the part of our Savior. And in one of these services, as they were preparing, they were going to do that for the cantata, they had part of the role, Keith, there was the prelude to that where Pilate was asking the people, and of course all your actors, your choir members or whoever you would have gotten, all your actors... You could have very well done this then, because in that portion of a production, of course, Pilate from the Bible says, "What shall I do with Jesus?" And Keith, that's when you have all your actors lined up to say, "Crucify him." And of course, I've been here when that's been in cantatas too. "Crucify him." Well, the story is not an apocryphal tale. It's been handed down now for years. Margaret, there was a little boy, one of our little ones, sitting in the congregation. So this play is coming to the point where Pilate says, "And what shall we do with Jesus?" And the script is, "Crucify him, crucify him." Lo and behold, Gail, the little boy, cries out, "No! No!" And of course it was unscripted, right? But it was so tender and unpretentious and so real. I've always felt in my heart of hearts that that's what happened to Peter. You know, in the one version, he takes him off to the side, and as he's rebuking him, what does he say, Warren? He says, "Lord, let it never be so for you." Now, this is one who loves Jesus, right? And did Jesus love Peter? "Get behind me, Satan." Well, you know he's not really calling him Satan. This is a rabbinic tool. All the rabbis use what they call hyperbole, poetry. That is, you take and sharpen the edge, see, to sharpen the edge of urgency, or to raise it, to amplify it to a degree that this is serious. You know, don't overlook this point. Of course he's not Satan, but this is serious business, Peter. It's important that Jesus give his life. That's why he did it. He did. What did the angel say to Joseph? "You shall name him what? Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus, Jesus in the Greek, Yehoshua, some say Jacob, all very, very fair renderings of the Hebrew. But each one of those words broken down translates Yahweh saves. God saves. And it took God in the flesh, right? God in the flesh. You got that coming up in your cantata. You know, it took the cross, didn't it, Keith? And yes. So that's why he did it. Peter, disciples, this is serious business. And if you want to follow me, if you want to help for me in the kingdom, you follow me. Do as I did. Deny yourselves. Take up your cross. For the cause of Christ and the gospel is worth all cost. Before we have our communion, there was a story in a national magazine a few years back about a certain chef who worked at one of Manhattan's trendiest restaurants known as the Spotted Pig. The chef's name is April Bloomfield. And April claims that when she was first interviewed for the chef's position at the Spotted Pig, the owners never asked her to cook for them. Instead, co-owner Mario Batali, who was a world-famous chef in his own right, hired Bloomfield the moment he saw her scars. That's right, her scars. Well, you see, like many committed chefs, Bloomfield's arms are crisscrossed with scars. Healed burns, burns that she received while reaching into an oven or stirring a pot or rearranging things on a stove. Chefs who bear no scars, one author has said, are not passionate about their craft. For those scars represent a person so focused on the food, so committed to excellence, that they're willing to suffer for their calling. The Lenten question for us: are there scars that we bear, at least spiritually? Are we denying ourselves for Christ? What will we give for the sake of Christ and his kingdom? What will we sacrifice for the gospel? Christ, our Lord, gave his all. In the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, and after he had blessed it and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you." Likewise, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink all of this, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." The form of communion that we observe for the sake of our visitors, this is known as intinction. There will be two stations here. I'm going to have Nikki and Vicky on this side, and then Brother Dave's going to come forward. We're going to be on this side, and you will take the bread representing the body of our Savior, and then you will take that bread, dip it into the cup representing the blood of Christ, and then take, eat, be thankful for this. This is how much God loves us. And you don't have to be a United Methodist. You don't have to be a member of this church. Again, we embrace the open table fellowship. God has made the entire world and all the children therein. And the Lord wants all the children to know the blessing of his love. So the ushers will help you. They'll assist you to come forward. Relax, visitors. They will also help you get back to your pew. So you can just relax and just lean on the hospitality. So Nikki and Vicky and also Brother Dave. Linda. And well. Let us take up our cross and follow Jesus. Let us serve him through the morning tithes and offerings. Let us pray together. Bless us and our gifts this day, that we may be a blessing to all the ends of the earth. As these gifts go forth into the world, may the ministries they support help others remember and turn to you, O God, recognizing the great love and grace you shower upon us all. I want to thank Brother Dave Bowen, too, to help me remember about the pickle jar. And of course, here again, another way of serving the Christ through the love offering for the local needs. And we will bring up our offerings. We've got a visitor here while we're singing this hymn. If you have a change offering, you know, or if you know, whatever love offering you wish to give for the local needs to go into this pickle jar, we're going to bring them up as we sing the closing hymn. 415, take up thy cross.
Thank you.
before we have the benediction. You're talking about taking up the cross, following Jesus. We got that mission team. Is it today they come back, Margaret, or tomorrow?
They're in Ohio.
Praise the Lord. You know what the roads are like, so please keep them in your prayers for a safe return home. Now may the love of God the Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest, abide with us all now and forever. Amen.
Thank you.